Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's winner-take-all time in the NBA and NHL, and FanDuel's giving you a shot to bring home a big win of your own. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to bet on spreads, money lines, player props, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make every playoff shot count. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. One more segment. One more mock draft. Let me close yours out so I don't put the wrong one up on the board. And so I'm going to start by sharing my screen here. So remember, my task was to trade down, was to find a trade down option. And it's tough because, you know, what the PFF mock draft tool is really good for a lot of things. But one thing it doesn't do is give you like preemptive trade options. So when I would get to 14, they would give me trade options. But at that point, yeah, it was a little late in the game to kind of have figured out where I wanted to go. So I ended up making the trade prior to the draft simulations starting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's funny because the trade I was able to get was accepted, right? I set up this trade and it was 100% acceptance. It was 100% that it was going to be accepted. But it was the second one that I had done. And the first one, I got the 14, and no one wanted to make a trade with me. I don't know why. But like, I tried to make a similar trade, and it would not happen. And the team I tried to trade with was the Cowboys. The Cowboys pick at number 24. Okay. And so I was like, okay. Because my goal was, you know, just kind of generally, I want to trade back in the first round, pick up a third round pick, and then add a future asset. Right? Like, that was my goal. I didn't want to give up 45. So because I wanted to make three picks. I wanted to pick in the first, second, and third round. And they were a team that made sense. So the trade I made is I gave up number 14 and my 2025 fourth rounder. What I got back was number 24 in the first round, obviously. Number 87, which is a mid-tier third round pick. And then the Cowboys 2025 second rounder. So
ooh, sexy.
I traded back 10 spots. I picked up a third rounder, and then I turned next year's fourth into a second. And I feel good about that. Like, you give up, that's a pretty long way to go back in the first round. That you're going a full tier down, right? You're at 14, you're getting, you know, tier, like a first round prospect, but a second tier first round prospect.
Sure.
At 24, you're getting a third tier first round prospect. So you have to get back enough that it justifies moving down. And it's tough. Like, as I was going through this, I was like, man, I don't like this. I don't think this is what is going to happen for the Saints. That's not what the assignment was. The assignment. Anyway, so let's go through the picks. So this one's more traditional. Caleb Williams, number one. Jaden Daniels, number two, to the Commanders. Drake May, number three, to the Patriots. Number four, Marvin Harrison. Number five, Roman Dunze. So that's your mock was a little all over the place in terms of the traditional order. This one was more on par,
right?
And that continues. Like, the Giants go with JJ McCarthy at number six. Again, I would hate that as someone
I was gonna say G-men fans go nuts after that.
I hate it. I complained about it. This is the same pick in the last mock that we did, and I went off on it then, so we don't need to do that again. But if you want to hear my rant about why I would hate this pick, go back to that. Seven, Malik Nabers to the Titans. And then this is interesting to me because you were able to trade up to number nine and get Joe Walt. In this mock, he goes at number eight to the Falcons. So that's really the part where it's like, man, those trades are tough because even if you were able to get the Bears to play ball with you and trade back, you wouldn't be able to get, if Joe Walt was your target, you wouldn't be able to get him. So that's what those trade-ups can be difficult. You have to wait. And so if I'm the Saints and I'm trying to trade up to number nine, I have to wait until number nine to make that trade because if I make that trade early and then the guy I want goes off at eight, what the hell am I doing then?
Exactly.
So, and then you give up those assets and you end up getting, you know, you could get Olu Fashanu. He's the guy who goes off the board at number nine. But what if he wasn't the target in the first place? I don't know. But either way, so the tackles go off, you know, the run on tackle starts. You got the Jets at number 10.
Jason Latham.
A couple edge rushers. Dallas Turner goes to the Vikings at 11. Jared Verse to the Broncos at 12. And in this one, I would not have been able to sit at number 14 and get Taliese Fuanga, who is the guy that I probably would have picked. He goes to the Raiders at 13. The Cowboys traded up. And one of the reasons I picked the Cowboys was because I know one of their needs is corner. And at 14, you're going to be able to pick the top corner on the board. You can look and you can see no corners have come off yet. So that's a trade that makes sense to me. If the Cowboys really want the top end corner, the guy they have identified, like he is a star. You can put him across from the other Diggs and Trevion Diggs, I think his name is, right?
Yeah.
And suddenly you have a really impressive tandem of cornerbacks in a league where you need that. So I think that trade could end up being, you know, if the Saints did opt to trade back, I think 24 is a good target for them. That's why I picked them in the first place. But Brian Thomas Jr. to the Colts at 15, Quinyon Mitchell to the Seahawks at 16. Brock Bowers drops all the way to 17 in the mock, goes to the Jaguars. 18, Bengals, Graham Barton, 19, Troy Fatanu to the Rams. So you're seeing a lot of these tackles go off the board.
And a lot of back-to-back tackle picks.
If I'm the Saints and like I really want to come out of this with a tackle, this is a problem for me because I traded back and now I'm just waiting. And it's like you may have a guy that's still on the board that you really like, but you're sitting there sweating it out. That's what makes it really difficult when you trade back like this. Byron Murphy the second goes to the Steelers. Amarius Mims, another tackle, to the Dolphins at 21. Leitu Latu, another guy that a lot of people like for the Saints, goes off. 22. So that's like, again, you're sitting there, you're like, I like that guy gone. I like that guy gone. I like that guy gone. Nate Wiggins is the last pick before the Saints. He goes off at number 23 to the Vikings. And so, me still wanting a tackle, ding, 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 ding. I go Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. I like this pick, but he's probably my eighth rated tackle.
Right.
So, if Tyler Guyton was a guy you really liked and you're able to get him here, great. I like Tyler Guyton, but again, it's like the difference here is at 14, you could probably get a guy who you'd be comfortable playing week one or early in his rookie season. With Tyler Guyton, I don't think you want that. I think Tyler Guyton would be a guy that you have sit behind Ryan Ramczyk and develop, and maybe that is the goal, and maybe that's what you're able to do. But what if Ramczyk can't go at all? And suddenly you're looking at Trevor Penning and Tyler Guyton as your starting tackles.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
It is, obviously. And that's why, you know, you look at Mickey, I'm like, why doesn't he ever trade back? Because, like, this is the scenario you end up with, and you're like, man, I could have got someone at 14 that I feel way better about.
We've heard them talk about they get that target that they want, and they're aggressive, and they go after it.
Well, they view it as saying, like, are we going to take the guy we want, or are we going to take a lesser player?
Right. Exactly. Right.
And when you view it like that, it's like, yeah, that is tough. And again, we talked about the Giants trading back and taking Kadarius Toney, and look how that turned out. Right. So it's like, you're not, these late first round picks are tough. And that's what you'd end up with. But we do get three picks to make. So that kind of helps you. Chop Robinson to the Packers at 25. Jackson Powers Johnson to the Bucks at 26. Darius Robinson to the Cardinals at 27. Xavier Worthy, Cooper DeJean, Ladd McConkey.
The Worthy move makes sense after the Diggs trade for sure.
Yes. He goes to the Bills at 28. Ladd McConkey to the Ravens at 30. Adonai Mitchell. And then the final pick of the first round, Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle out of Illinois. So, I don't like this mock. This is like technically my mock, but I hate it. And that's how sometimes these happen, right? You end up with, I think you'll even you talk to the GMs at the end of a draft and be like, man, we really got hosed. Why did we do this? You know, and they probably wouldn't admit that to other people, but they're probably looking at themselves in the mirror being like, I did not handle this very well. And I think that's what I would be saying to myself after this first round.
Is there a pick at 24 tackle wise that you were hoping would still be around?
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Guyton is actually the guy I liked. Amarius Mims is beyond there too, but the fact of the matter is I barely got onto that tier. Like, like this was the last tackle on that. And you talked about a third tier first round tackle. This is the last guy. There's no other guys, no other tackles that I would have felt like this is a first round prospect. I could have reached and taken a second round guy in the first, but you know, if Tyler Guyton goes to the Vikings, then I am scrambling. I'm probably taking Chop, right? I'm probably taking a pass rusher, and this is where you end up taking, you know, Peyton Turner, a guy the fans would be like, who? You know? And so, yeah, and that's the difficulty of drafting in the 20s anyway. But the benefit of drafting in the 20s is usually you're in the 20s because you were good. In this case, you're drafting in the 20s, but you are in a position where you need these players to be impact players. So that's why I don't think this is going to happen, but hey, we're going to keep going. Second round, Peyton Wilson, the first off the board, linebacker at NC State, goes to the Panthers. Xavier Leggett, wide receiver out of South Carolina, goes to the Pats, so that's no longer an option for me. He was my pick at 45. In the last mock, Kamari Lassiter, cornerback out of Georgia, goes to the Cardinals. Kool-Aid McKinstry, you got to run on corners here, goes to the Commanders. Mike Sanders still goes high again, cornerback out of Michigan, top slot corner on the board, probably goes to the Chargers. Troy Franklin to the Titans, wide receiver out of Oregon. Max Melton out of Rutgers, cornerback, goes to the Panthers. TJ Tampa, a lot of corners going in the second round. Out of Iowa State, goes to the Commanders. Patrick Paul, tackle out of Houston, goes to the Packers. Zach Frazier, center out of West Virginia, to the Texans. Chris Braswell, this is a tough one because I probably would have gone with Chris Braswell if he was there at 45. Edge rusher goes to the Falcons. Kingsley Suamataya. I'm sure I said that wrong. Tackle out of BYU. Goes to the Raiders, and at number 45,
ding,
it's a familiar name. It is Braden Fisk.
Hey, what do you know?
Out of Florida State. Yes, we both took the same guy.
That's hilarious. At 45.
Don't communicate that these in advance. It's part of the reason I do that, because it's like, if we pick the same guy, then it just means we're on the same wavelength. It doesn't mean like we've agreed on it, but we are agreeing on it because I think this would be a great pick. That's why I agreed with the pick when you made it, because I think it's the right pick in this situation, because I like the idea of saying, hey, you know, we can address both sides of the line right now. We can go get that D tackle, plug him in next to Brian Brzee, and we're set at that position for 3-4 years, you know, and when you're not comfortable with your guys at tackle, a defensive tackle, it just you feel weak. You know, you feel like when the other team is able to run the ball up the middle against you, you just feel like you have nothing. You have no answer. They're constantly in third and short. Go watch that Rams game. One of the things that happened in that Rams game that made it feel impossible for the Saints to win is what's his name? I always forget the running back's name. Kyren Williams.
Yeah.
Kyren Williams was able to get 4 or 5 yards on first down constantly. That first Bucs game, one of the reasons it felt impossible for the Saints to win is Keyshawn Vaughn and the other guy, I forget his name, they were able to get 4 or 5 yards on first down constantly, especially in the first half. And it's so difficult to get off the field when you're going against third and short constantly because you have so many options. Maybe you make a play, maybe they screw up, but the odds are very much in their favor when they're in third and short. Is not in the defensive side. So if I can bulk up my defensive tackle, if I can get one of the top D tackle prospects on the board, a guy that fits my you know, typical prototype at defensive tackle, that's what I'm going to get. And that's where it is in Braden Fisk.
Were you tempted with Bullard on the board at all?
No, not really. I don't like the idea. Like you can get safeties in this draft, but I don't think you need to get it at 45. I like Bullard.
Someone that could be a slot guy too.
Because I think you go after a slot guy. But it is tough. Like you talk about like, okay, safety. Are you trading Marshawn? Does he translate exactly? Is he going to be a guy that makes an impact? And I feel like I can get an impact safety slot corner later if I need to. Like, look where you drafted CJ, right? So it was a fourth round if anyone needed
right.
that. So I don't know. Like, I'm not drafting for need at safety at 45. Trade up.
That was definitely going through the mock when I was looking at this too, with Fisk on the board, and then Bullard kind of got my attention just because of that slot ability. And I was like, but I'm with you too. Is like, I just want to address more of the trenches.
Yeah. I mean, I like drafting big guys. That's what
big,
I want.
Strong men.
Give me the big men. Give me the big boys.
Watch out. That's apparently what Diddy said too.
Oh, geez. Yikes. All right. Jordan Morgan, a guy I like to tackle. I would have, you know, if I didn't go with tackle in the first round, Jordan Morgan might be a guy that I take here, because I think he is a fringe first round prospect, and he's just a developmental guy. And people will wince when they hear that term. But if you're getting him at 45, you can live with that. At 24, no, I'm not doing that. At 45, but I took Tyler Guyton at 24, and I'm not doing that twice. So no. And then, you know, you can go through, I'm not going to name all these guys. I'm just going to kind of name the big ones. At 50, the Eagles get Roman Wilson. I think that's a good pick for them. 51, Steelers get Bo Nix. So there's a pretty big variation in terms of, you know, the Rams took Bo Nix at 20 in your mock. He gets all the way to 50 in this mock for the Steelers, who just keep adding quarterback, 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 quarterback. This would give them a room of Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and Bo Nix. Ennis Rigstraw to the Rams at 52. Ricky Pearsall to the Eagles. So the Eagles are getting heavy on wide receiver here.
Yeah, what's going on? Is somebody want to tell me about that I don't know with them?
Yeah, maybe they're all
trading somebody.
Quit. I don't know.
Oh,
Keon Coleman to the Cowboys at 56. I'd be surprised if he falls this low.
Yeah, I like
him. But we'll see. You know, a few other names. No one exciting. This is the problem with doing mocks this far down. Is I don't even need to read you the names.
Oh, we got a running back.
Most of you won't know them. Jermaine Burton goes to the Bucks at 57. Right, you got the first running back off the board here. Jonathan Brooks goes to the Lions at 61. I think it will be interesting to see if the Saints are in play on some of these running backs, because I do think you have to start planning for post Marshawn Lattimore. I'm sorry, for post Alvin Kamara. And you did that last year with Kendre, but maybe you double up and do it again. I don't know. Jonah Ellis.
Also, obviously, Jamal Williams just had his 31st birthday. So they got guys that are up there.
Yeah. And I mean, you probably draft a guy and have him come in and compete for that RB3 role. But I'm not doing that in the second or third round. That seems a little early, but maybe. I mean, the Saints do like drafting running backs in the third round. And if a guy they really like is there, we'll see. Jonah Ellis, edge rusher, brother to Caden Ellis, comes off the board at 63 to the 49ers. A lot of numbers there. Michael Penix Jr., 66 to the Cardinals.
Wow, third round. No way that happens.
I don't know. I mean, at a certain point, the teams that need quarterbacks have already drafted a quarterback. You know?
I just think a slip to the third. I still think Penix goes in the first round, honestly.
Maybe
early second.
I think it's more likely he goes in the first round than he does in the second round. Because once guys get out of the first round, it's like every team has passed on them once. Why would you take them? You know, like if you're drafting kind of a dart throw quarterback, it's usually because the value is there. And I don't know if the value is there in the second round if you don't believe they're a first rounder. Now, there are guys that, like Jalen Hurts was a second rounder. Will Levis was a second rounder. So it does happen. But I think it's more uncommon than you'd think.
To me, at least, there's no way in heck I'm taking McCarthy over Penix, but that's me.
I don't get it either. I don't. I like, but I don't get to make these picks.
This, right, exactly.
The machines have decided. Devontae Walker, wide receiver out of North Carolina, probably the fastest. You know, Xavier Worthy is the fastest objectively, but Devontae Walker, I would say he was the fastest at the Senior Bowl. Like, he's very fast. So he's an interesting guy. Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle out of Michigan, goes to the Jets. Braylon Trice, edge rusher out of Washington, goes to the Falcons. He's another guy I think a lot of people like for the Saints. Devondre Sweat was another guy that I really like at defensive tackle. I'm kind of surprised to see him this late. If Braden, or who did I draft?
Fisk, yeah.
Braden Fisk is off the board, then Tavondre Sweat might be my target if I am still looking at a defensive tackle. But we're getting close here. Remember, I traded for 87. Another running back, Blake Corum, comes off the board. 77 Spencer. Here. Javon Baker, UCF wide receiver, goes to the Falcons. Jamari Thrash, fun name, wide receiver, goes to the Bengals. He's out of Louisville. Jalen Wright.
Kind of name, you better be a receiver, right?
Yeah. Jalen Wright, halfback out of Tennessee, goes to the Colts. Michael Pratt.
Wow.
Pride of Tulane goes to the Rams in the third round. I think people are trying to sell you on really high value for Michael Pratt. I think this is more where he's going to be. He's going to be that mid-tier guy that goes after Penix, after Nix, and just kind of in that room.
Wait a minute. Didn't Rams go quarterback in round one?
No, not in this draft.
Okay. Maybe that was mine. Okay.
The one that I would argue is I don't think that he goes after Spencer Rattler. I think that Michael Pratt goes before Spencer Rattler, but we'll see. I mean, at this point, it's more about like what team falls in love with that guy in interviews and whatever. And, you know, they were both at the Senior Bowl, so I think the team's got a pretty good look at them there, but we'll see. The Dolphins forfeit a pick here. That's right before mine. So 86 is not existing. So technically the Saints, I traded for the 86th pick. So still a little value there.
There you go.
But who did I go with? You know, the names on the board at this point, a lot of times you're picking guys that, you know, maybe underperformed or maybe you didn't see a lot of, and they have a lot of potential. I went with Johnny Wilson, wide receiver out of Florida State. This is 87. So I've taken two Florida State guys after getting rid of a Florida State guy. in Jameis Winston, right? And the reason I went with Johnny Wilson is, you know, we've talked previously, I think the Saints do need a big-bodied wide receiver, and that's what he is. He was at the Senior Bowl, check. You know,
check, right.
His RAS score is really high. Now, keep in mind, like, we talk a lot about the RAS scores. The Saints will tell you they don't actually look at RAS as a metric. Like, the Saints aren't looking at a guy and be like, I really like him. What's his relative athletic score? But it's been proven true time after time after time that the players the Saints like end up scoring very high in the RAS metrics. So it's a good way to kind of back in of like, I like this prospect. Does he kind of fit the bill of what the Saints look for? And if he does, then you can feel a little more confident about it. So the guy I would compare him to is A.T. Perry, another guy who did have very high RAS metrics. You got him in the sixth round, but last year we talked a lot about it is because he fell because of character concerns, right? It was kind of ambiguous. We don't really know what they were. We've asked him. He doesn't know what they were, but that's part of the reason he was there in the sixth round. And you look at, so A.T. Perry scored a 9.61. You know, the size is good. The issue for him, I think, was so he's 6'3", 198. So he's big, but, and this, honestly, I find it hard to believe that this is accurate, that he's only 6'3". But either way, he put up a much, much better 40 time than Johnny. But Johnny measured in at 6'6", 231. And he ran a 4.52 in the 40, which is a little slower. But, you know, you're looking for that elite size, that AJ Green type size.
231, that's a big boy.
Like, let's look at what AJ Green was coming out. Well, that can't be true. That's a different AJ Green. It's an Oklahoma State AJ Green. Okay, yeah, this is AJ Green from Georgia. AJ Green coming out, height 6'3 and a half, 211. So, like, by these standards, like, Johnny Wilson's size is incredible. And that weight, so he's not going to get bullied. And that's the thing with AT. He's big. He can go up and make plays. But his size kind of allows him to be moved around. Like, he's not ever going to be that guy who can really box a guy out. I mean, he could get bigger, but I just like the idea of adding another big-bodied guy, and they could compete, right? They can go at it and see. You can see who fits that bill the best. But I just think he fits. He checks a lot of those boxes. And I still think, like I said in the last episode, I want to add another veteran guy, maybe a Hunter Renfrow or someone like that, to kind of help lead this room. But I don't need that guy to be my big guy. I think this can be that big guy. So I kind of like the value here. And again, this is the pick I traded for. So I'm going to get a little bit more ambitious in terms of, you know, adding a skill position, adding a guy who could make an impact out above the investment you're making. And I think that that's what you can get here.
Yeah, I'm sure Saints fans will like this. It's just real quick, I was, you know, looking for some info on him. And this is from a Bleacher Report article, so you can take it any way you want. But pro comparison, Plaxico Burress. I think fans will take that.
Plaxico Burress. Wow, I haven't heard that name in a while. Man, and people forget how good Plaxico Burress was. I mean, and part of that is because his career basically ended when he shot himself in the leg because he was
literally.
Literally shot himself in the leg because he was wearing he had a gun in his sweatpants at a club, and then it ended up being an unregistered gun, and he went to jail because of it. To, you know, add insult to injury there, but like he was really good with the Steelers, and the Giants won a Super Bowl because of him. So I agree. I think, you know, it's like he was a guy who would never blow you away with his athleticism or speed, but was just able to create areas to deliver the ball that no one else could because he didn't even have to really jump. You know, it's kind of like Victor Wembanyama. Like, he can dunk from areas that no one else can dunk. Like, Plaxico could catch the ball in areas that no one else could get to. AJ Green was the same way because, you know, AJ Green, I thought AJ Green was bigger, but he had like that crazy long wingspan,
right?
Where he could go get the ball. No, I'm so, seeing no, that I think that this is something that you Wilson could do.
Is definitely his wingspan too. So you're onto something there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think he is that level of elite in terms of if you can get out of him what he's capable of producing, he could be a star. Now, I don't know if you're going to be able to do that, but either way, when I'm trading for a pick, when I'm adding a pick, this is the kind of move I want to make, is I want to get aggressive. I want to get a playmaker that I can develop and maybe be a star in a few years, as opposed to making the safe pick, right?
Yeah, the only question, too, that I guess a red flag for me, missed 4 games last year, undisclosed injuries. So
that's the problem with guys who are long and there's, you know, a lot of exposed parts, right? You know, because one of the reasons it's an issue, especially like tight ends, right? A lot of times tight ends get hurt because the only way to tackle them is to go low because you can't get them up high. So what happens when you go low? You get knee injuries, you get ankle injuries. Like, why do you have to hip drop tackle Mark Andrews, Logan Wilson? Because you can't tackle him any other way. And that's what when we can kind of bookend this. Like, that's one of the reasons guys are complaining about the hip drop tackle being illegal, is they're just like, well, if I can't make that tackle, then he scores a touchdown. Right? So, you know, and it's like, yeah, he's going to get hurt, but my job is to stop him from scoring, you know? And so that's what you end up getting is guys, you know, they go low, they take out your knee, they take out your ankle, and then you get hurt. So you got to be careful with those guys. But that's why this is kind of this is more like a lottery ticket than anything else in the third round, which is a good time to take those.
Yeah, I'm interested to delve into some Johnny Wilson film myself. Just seeing, like I said, 6'6", 231. That is pretty impressive for a receiver.
Oh, no, I saw him at the Senior Bowl, and watching guys try to tackle him or cover him even, because you're not really tackling at the Senior Bowl. That was funny. But one of the reasons I don't like this mock draft is because Pro Football
PFF likes it.
Really does like it. They gave me an A on both of those picks. But again, you know, all these grades mean is we have a big board and you took that guy lower than we have him ranked on the big board. That's all these grades mean. There's really no analysis behind that. That's why I got Tyler Guyton and number 20, had him at 30, so it was a B. I got the Braden Fisk, they had him at 38, I took him at 45, I get an A. Johnny Wilson, they had him at 79, I got him at 87, I get an A. That's all that means. So I think their big board is usually wrong. So I don't get super excited. But it is always nice. Anytime you get an A, you'd be like, well, thanks. That's like, I'm pretty swell too.
Right, little pat yourself on the back. Yeah. Feeling good about it. Like I said, it's like, I got to show Mickey my trade.
Mickey, what do you think?
He'd be like, yeah, get away from me.
Like, what is the internet? I don't think Mickey's a big computer guy. But hey, I think that's it. I think that's all I got. Anything else you want to hit before we get out of here?
No, we are just 3 weeks away from the real deal. So cannot wait to get the event over with. It's, you know, the whole buildup for it. And then, man, oh, man, once we get to draft time, that is some long 3 days for all of us.
I had a friend, and this is just an aside. I had a friend who was like, he did a documentary, and he's got all these all access passes to these festivals. And he's trying to get people to go with him.
Wow.
And he was like, oh, there's this one in Dallas in April. Do you want to go? And I was like, oh, yeah, I could probably take a couple days in April. What are the dates? And he was like, April 25th through 27th. It's like, I don't need to look. He was like, if you can get a cheap flight, maybe we can, you know, it's not about the flight. It's literally the exact days of the draft.
Right.
And he was just like, damn, my bad.
That's always every year for me. I'm always like with the draft. Begging that the Jazz Fest doesn't have the acts I want to see in the first weekend. It always coincides.
Jazz Fest?
Jazz Fest and the first week of the NFL draft.
Is that the same?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Jazz Fest, man, Jazz Fest. I thought Jazz Fest was in June.
No, it's coming up. And then, yeah, the second weekend you get to kind of kick back and relax and enjoy after going through the madness of the first week of the draft, at least.
Jazz Fest 2024. What are the dates?
I want to see Foo.
April 25th through May 5th. You're right. That is the exact same dates.
Right. So that's why it's like, yes, yeah, so-and-so is coming to Jazz Fest. And then all of a sudden, you know, when they announce what days they're playing, you're like, you got to be kidding me. They're coming during the first week of the draft. There's no way I can make it. That happened to me 1 year with Tom Petty. Luckily, he ended up coming back, and I did see him before he died.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, he was on my list. I was like, I love Tom Petty, so I was like, I need to see him.
Are we getting the Rolling Stones this year finally after like the seventh year of trying?
Supposedly, but I think the tickets are like $300, I believe.
And he's like 87 years old, so I could, you know, a stiff breeze goes through and he might not make it.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one, but I'm looking forward. I'm going to take my 14-year-old to see the Foo Fighters.
I want to see the Killers. I know the Killers are here.
Oh, yeah, I think their first weekend, though, I believe. Maybe not, though.
Yeah, I do appreciate that now, like, I am of the age where dad rock is like the bands I grew up with.
Right.
I went home recently, obviously, and we ended up at a speakeasy, right? Which is just, it didn't have a password or anything, but it was like, they didn't advertise. It had like a barbershop sign
Did they have a door with a sliding window?
Well, I mean, in the sense of that, it wasn't like, didn't have a password or anything, but it wasn't, I would have never known it was a bar. I would have assumed it was a barbershop, but like my cousin goes to college in that area. So she was like, oh, it's so cool. Let's go in. They were playing. I kid you not. Like all of these like 22 to 25 year old children were sitting there with the playlist was like 2000s, like alternative, like they were playing like Nickelback and Blink 182 and like some 41. You know, I was waiting the whole time for Creed. I bet if I waited long enough, I would have got some Creed. But like, it was so weird because I knew every word to every one of these songs. And you would look around and you would see like these children and be like, what the fuck is this? Well, what? And I was like, you don't know this song. Anyway, we didn't stay very long because I was not the demographic that frequents that establishment. In terms of like, I'm like 12 years older than the oldest person in there, but
hey, at least they had good music.
But that's the thing. They were playing it ironically.
Well, it was like a throwback night or something.
No, they were not playing it because everyone there was like jamming out to Blink-182 the way you would if you went to like a bar in New Orleans with a bunch of like 30-year-old people, you know, they were all just like, my dad used to listen to this.
Oh, so it was more of like an insulting jest.
No, I mean, they were having a good time. The bartenders were our age. I think bartenders were having fun.
Right. There you go.
It was very much like an ironic. It was just it made me feel very old that like the music I grew up with is now being listened to by Zoomers, ironically.
No, I hear you. Like, you know, what you tuning into like Bayou and you hear like classic rock. And when it starts to become music from your time, you're like, wait a minute.
Right. It's like if I walk into a bar and they're playing Foreigner and I'm like, oh, that's my mom's favorite band. Anyway, all right. Wait, we're gone off the map here. But thanks everyone for listening. Another mock draft in the books, the most wrong of them all. We've done it. We'll be coming back next week. We'll have some more topics. I do want to do one episode on like breakout candidates. So I think that's what we can do. Maybe the first episode next week, assuming nothing crazy happens. So we can come up with a list of breakout candidates for this season who might have a big season, that sort of thing. But if you have any ideas, anything you want to hear, hit me up at Jeff Noack. You can hit up Steve at Steve Geller WWL, and you can hit the show at Saints _ pod. Check out WWL.com. You can listen to Steve on Sports Talk every day, as long as he's doing that sort of thing. I'll be on there eventually.
You'll be back
one of these weeks. I'll be back. But all right, thanks everyone for listening. Another one in the books. Who dat? Go Saints.
Getting ready for that draft. See you soon, Who Dat Nation.
One of these weeks, you're going to just say peace out, Seacrest, like I want you to.
Peace out, Seacrest.
There we go. We got it. All right.